I'm anything important, am I?
No.
Just thought I'd come over and say hello to you. I'll try anything once. What's your name? I said mine.
Holly.
Well, listen, Holly. Want to take a walk with me?
What for?
Oh, I got some stuff to say. Guess I'm kind of lucky that way. Most people don't have anything on their minds, do they?
My lover's got humor. She's the giggle at a funeral. Knows everybody's disapproval. I should've worshipped her sooner. If the heavens ever did speak, she's the last true mouthpiece. Every Sunday's getting more bleak. A fresh poison each week. We were born sick, you heard them say it. My church offers no absolutes. She tells me worship in the bedroom. The only heaven I'll be sent to is when I'm alone with you. I was born sick, but I love it. Command me to be well. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Take me to church. So hi and welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This is Andrew.
This is Damian.
And this is Doug.
I'm sorry. So I just got a Fitbit.
Is this a continued effort of you becoming a robot? You got a Roomba, now you got a Fitbit. What's next?
Pretty much. I mean, I'm going to implant some new upgrades tomorrow, but let's not worry about that. But so there's some things that you can do in the app. One is to put in what you've eaten, and I'm kind of putting in the crazy things I've eaten. And I searched for rum cake, so I could put in rum cake. Damian White, please read out the number one result.
Rum testicles.
No. That's not rum.
Ram testicles. Cooked pickled in whey. All
right. Now, what the fuck are people eating?
Apparently ram balls.
This is...
I have a very important question.
Yes.
How many calories are in ram balls?
Only 109.
Oh, so they're good for you.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So good to know. Sounds like you should be eating some ram balls.
Yep.
I've had rum balls. Can't say I've had ram balls.
Like, if Douglas didn't point it out, because it was just like, oh, rum balls. No, Damian. I have to look again. Because it did not register immediately. Ram balls. I searched what ram balls are, but I'm afraid Google shuts me down once and for all. It's like, all right, Damian, you've had enough.
Did you get one of the Fitbits that's also a watch, or is it like just the band?
All of them are also a watch, but this one looks like just a band.
Okay.
Why? What? What is mean about what I said?
It's a new year. We said we'd be nice.
Really? When?
Never. Douglas. Hear me, Douglas. Andrew, you know better than this.
So I just ate, and I might be being overzealous because I feel like what I ate is ridiculous. So just put everything up to the max. I just ate 2,500 calories in one sitting.
Yeah. And I assume you're going to.
And so yesterday was a good day. Yeah. You see, the blue is what I ate and the big line is what I burned off. Today, it's quite the opposite.
sounds like it's pointless.
No, it's not pointless. I'm doing good. As I said to people, I've lost 15 pounds. It's all about, you know, knowing when to fuck around, right? There are a couple of days when you're just like, yo, I don't care. But the days when you do care, you just need to care hard.
Care hard. The Douglas story.
But anyways.
I'm sorry. I have hijacked the podcast.
We are here.
Let's unjack it.
Once again to talk about movies, as we tend to do.
Movies!
We are here to discuss a film from 2018 that I have to be quite honest with you, Douglas. This is quite possibly your most remarkable feat.
Okay.
I don't think I could have had this happen to me, because it's the first time anyone has said you should watch this movie, of a movie that came out within the last year that I have never heard of. Right? Because, you know, doing all of this movie website stuff and reading all of this stuff, like, I feel like I know all the movies that are kind of come out. Like short of, like, a Disney straight to... Well, now it will be straight to Disney Plus, right? Movie about Hannah Montana. Like, I know them.
You're talking real movies.
So, Douglas, I congratulate you. You've given a new first to this podcast, right? We're here.
Thank you.
We're here to talk
and
about.
You are welcome.
We're here to talk about the 2018 film Age Out, directed by AJ Edwards. In which we follow the story of a young child who becomes 18 years old and is released from foster care out into the wild, into the real world, and must fend for himself.
You're 18 now. You said no to staying with us here at the children's home. You know what that means? You need to seek a job as soon as you can.
Things kind of close to the chest, don't you?
And quickly, it doesn't go very well. There's a police officer involved. There's a crazy drug man played by Caleb Landry-Jones that I'm willing to bet is the reason we're talking about this movie. And the film continues as we find this character, Richie, go down the rabbit hole of what is to be known as life. Douglas,
I'm right here.
Let me know, how did this movie play for you, as it was your decision?
So this is an interesting movie. It's something that I came across in my Google Play viewings. It just was up there, and I watched the trailer. The people in it made me very interested in it. Of course, yes, Andrew, you're right. Caleb Landry-Jones added to the allure. But I really do like Ty Sheridan. I like Imogen. Actually, yes, that's her name. Imogen Poots. And so it was really on the strength mainly of those two, what I thought were main characters. Ty Sheridan is. Imogen Poots turns out not to be. But those two were really the deciding factor. Then, so that's pretty much all I knew. I knew the trailer, I knew those guys, and it seemed an interesting story because, and I hark back to some older movies that we've watched and I think we've all enjoyed. I know at least I've really enjoyed this movie. But going back to Startup, which is just spectacular and isn't exactly what this advertised to be, but was in a similar vein. It was coming of age. It was a youngster who didn't have a great go of it and was put into bad situations, bad parenting choices. But that was a situation where he went to prison. This was a situation where he, and the title, Age Out, he aged out of the, I don't want to call it foster care because that's not it, the institution of government assistance, orphanages, whatever you want to call that, right? And it's him trying to then live, right? To what happens next? How do I make money? Do I do it the slow way or the fast way, like the rappers would say, right? What kind of situations do I get put in? What kind of relationships do I have? That was what I was hoping for. And sure, in a sense, in a way, I got that. but I definitely did not get the movie I thought I was going to get. The first sign of that, and funnily enough, as soon as I saw it, I said, this is why they're going to think I picked this. But I had no clue. The first sign that I knew something was not quite awry, but was going to be not as I expected it, was when it said, produced by Gus Van Sant. Now you all know, I love me some Gus. He is one of my favorite directors. It is very hard for him to do something that I don't either like or pretend to like. Right? So that was interesting. When I saw it, though, for some reason, maybe it's because of the content, what it was trying to address, I immediately held my breath and said, you know what? I could be in for some difficult times. And indeed, I was. This movie is obviously meant to be good. And when I say that, what I mean is, this person thinks he's making a masterpiece. Now, I'm not going to say that teams didn't play hard, because very many teams played very many ways and played very, very hardly. But there was just something missing. I almost would like to say that this movie was Malickian in its presentation.
There's a reason for that.
Mm-hmm. So this is very much like a Terry Malick movie, unfortunately. So there are a lot of things. This movie it had the kind of storyline, the kind of through line that I think could have actually made a good movie. But the way it was pieced together was, it towed the line between realism and surrealism that didn't do it any favors. The acting from, in particular, Ty Sheridan was on point. If you were to take bits and pieces and create a story out of it, so, and I don't even mean to say, you know, the way that we say it sometimes, where we say, oh, there could have been velociraptors. No, if you actually take out all of the nonsense, all of the because this movie actually felt very much like the Tree of Life that we hate, where there'd be a
You heard it.
I'd like that we to have an asterisk beside it.
No, we is more than one person.
I want it to be defined. I want there to be like an appendix where it says
that movie is not even close to being Tumper proof.
So myself and Damien, the double D's of this podcast, hate that movie. And one of the reasons, there are so many reasons, but one of the reasons, which is why I pointed out, is that it was like a PowerPoint slide, right? There would be pictures, and at least this movie had some motion, right? This movie took it a little further. It went closer to the I can like you, but it didn't cross the line. There were some pictures that if you took this picture and put it down, fast forwarded about a half an hour, took picture number two and put it down, fast forwarded about 40, you get the point. You just have to take small instances in the movie, and the connecting dots, the connecting lines are what fucked it up. But the dots, if you put it together, there would actually be a story. And in this case, that's what I felt about this movie. There were scenes and there were things that happened, right? That if you put them together and forget all of the in-betweens, all of the crying bits, right? Then this movie told a compelling story that I think, if fleshed out, could have made a pretty good movie. But the director decided to Malick the shit out of it. And it was very disappointing, because there were long swaths of this movie that were just, you know, driving on the side of the road, or even And Damien talks about this sometimes, that there are movies that respect that you're intelligent, that you don't need to necessarily be told everything that happens, and that you can go from one situation to the next. And if it's done well enough, and if you are aware enough, you can connect the dots by yourself. And I feel like this movie tried to do that a number of times, but the way it did it, you just got frustrated. It just upset you. And also, to be honest, and I'm not going to speak too much about it because that could come into the spoiler sides of things, but this movie was a little too fucking convenient with some of the things that it did.
So I have something to say about that. Right, uh-huh. And it's interesting that you mentioned. First of all, I want to say congrats, Douglas, because I didn't think you could do this good a job. I wish you were this respectful to Terrence Malick. Right. But the thing, like, you talk about it being convenient, and I want to point you back to something you had said, which mm-hmm. I felt a lot with this movie, which was you talked about how it moves from surrealism to realism continuously. And I kind of took that to be the reason why something felt so convenient. And I think you're kind of talking closer to the character of Imogen Poots, which I won't go too into what's going on there. But oddly enough, throughout this movie, and it might have just been because of his ripping off of Terrence Malick-ness, right, with what he's going for. But I almost wanted to think that nothing was real with this movie, that...
And that's something I want to talk about as well.
That yeah, from going. The moment he left, he was sent out into the real world, quote unquote, to the end of this movie. All of that in-between section, I honestly wanted to come here with a structured argument to say, I think it's all just imagined. I think Caleb Landry-Jones is just a bad version of himself that tells him to do bad things. I think this other thing means this other thing.
Andrew, I agree with that 100%, right? So that was going to be my final point, where Caleb Landry-Jones is effectively Brad Pitt from Fight Club. And I have one note on this movie, which is, and I showed it to Damien already, that I want this movie to be renamed. I want it to be, because it's essentially Baby Fight Club, right? It's younger people doing Fight Club. I want it to be renamed Fight Club Babies, and I would like Ron Funches to sing the theme the tune of Muppet Babies.
You would like Ron Funches to sing the theme of most everything.
Fight Club Babies.
But yeah, as it relates to this
and
movie,
I was very upset that Caleb Landry-Jones was only in this movie for two scenes for about 5 seconds. That was
wasn't he in this for more than two scenes? It felt like more than two scenes.
Maybe three scenes, but each scene, it wasn't a lot. He was not, I wouldn't even call him supporting. He was an accident.
I sort of half expected after I'd watched this movie that, like, on Saturday I'd get a message from Douglas being like, maybe not this.
So
here,
what?
By the time I watched it, it was too late.
Yes. I realized. I know how you function, Douglas.
Right. I like how you think that Douglas, even for a second, was not going to just use the 2 weeks to do exactly what he used to do in 1 week.
He's like, it's Sunday night, I guess I have to watch a podcast.
It helps me, it does nothing to do.
But yeah, this movie on the whole, I did not like this movie. But the thing about it is that not only is it if it's a movie that I'm not sure, as it doesn't feel like it commits to the concept of that surrealism and realism like blend. So taking the Terrence Malick style just to kind of make this vague and uncertain statement just made me upset watching the movie. And then as well, like, you talk about this compelling story. I mean, I don't know. Like, it felt to me like everything just kind of happened in weird ways that nothing really compelled me or made interest in anything. Even to the point where Felix Wright shows up and he's the police officer. Like, you get, like, one scene where he's interrogating him.
Andrew Robinson, did you just call this man Felix Wright?
Yep.
Yes.
Andrew, that's his name from now on.
Yep.
Oh my god, that's perfect.
I am going to edit this thing that I have here where I put Jeffrey Wright and I'm going to remove Jeffrey and put in Felix.
He's not Jeffrey Wright. He's not Felix Leiter. He's Felix Wright.
He's Felix Wright.
He's a long lost cousin of Ace Attorney Wright. Right? Attorney Ace Wright. Douglas won't know what that's about, but
yes, I do. It's a fucking Japanese video game. It
I mean, you could say that about half of the things, Andrew. It's just a blind shot in
either anime or video game.
I've never heard. It's Japanese anime / video games. Objection!
I read Engadget and The Verge too, guys.
I'm still upset that I haven't found a way to see the Takashi Miike film that he made about that, which I'm sure is trash, but I kind of want to watch it nonetheless. I wonder if I'll ever have seen all of Takashi Miike's films. He has a lot, and some of them are really hard to find.
I think you're going to. Knowing you, you're going to find
out. You do live in future lands, right. So there is that.
But yeah.
Also at some point, someone is going to go, here's all of them for like $18.
Definitely. But where was I with this movie? I was making jokes about Felix Wright. His name is now Felix Wright. Honestly, I didn't realize I'd mixed the two names together. that scene in itself, like, it's a good scene, but it almost feels like a average version of that scene where it's just...
Remind me which scene we're talking
about?
When Felix Wright plays Batman.
When he's interviewing Ty Sheridan and he's telling him, cool. Yo guy, you know there are crimes and bad things can happen and such, whatever he goes on about.
But he's using his graveliest voice. And he's sticking to the shadows for some reason.
And his twangiest twang.
Look, just be happy he's not doing his Caribbean voice that he used in fucking Laundromat.
I'm always happy when he uses his Caribbean voice. You, sir,
clearly I need to watch Laundromat.
No,
now.
You should not.
I need to hear that voice.
If you do, oh, that voice. The second it comes out of his face, he starts smiling. It's like, this is tremendous.
I'll send you a YouTube link so you can just see that. You don't need to watch the movie. The movie's awful.
You remember, like, 70s, early 80s, when they did Caribbean, and you're just like, no. It's that. It's glorious.
Sanka!
Yeah. It feels like if he were like one shade lighter in skin tone, it'd be racist. It's tremendous.
He also sort of did a Caribbean thing on Boardwalk Empire. He shows up later in the show and he's supposed to be Trinidadian or something.
I don't remember anything about that show.
Yeah, you shouldn't remember.
Or Bajan, I've forgotten what he's supposed to be.
Trash TV. Oh, okay.
Damn.
That's fun.
But yeah, this movie, it's just a bad version of a Terrence Malick movie, and I already have a few of those, so no.
You already have his entire catalog.
Damien, be nice. You said you were going to be nice. I gave you a little bit where I admitted to there are bad Terrence Malick movies. Don't have to like put the rest of you don't have to
Sir, I am sorry. I misspoke.
So yeah, Age Out. Caleb Landry-Jones, a C.
Excuse me?
That was just to upset Douglas, but yeah.
Excuse me. Say what? Hold on. Yes, hello? Mm-hmm. I need to get a ticket for the Torontos.
Yes.
I need to slap a bitch.
One flight to Toronto, please. It's too cold. You can't. Don't go over there, no. It's a mistake. So it is now officially my turn.
Yes, it is.
I've had 2 weeks. Which means I have notes. This is AJ Edwards' second film. You both said that this movie feels Malikian. There is a very strong reason for that. He is Terrence Malick's editor.
Ah!
And so, okay. Now you know why the movie looks the way it looks. In fairness, though, his first movie is called The Better Agent.
Oh, yeah, I remember this movie. I wanted to watch it.
And I am not, Douglas, I'm not joking. Listen to this description. It is the boyhood journey of Abraham Lincoln. Now, Douglas, what is even worse is that when you watch the trailer, remember the most recent Terrence Malick movie you saw and you're just like, what is this Terrence Malick looking bullshit? This is that in black and white. I saw it and I went, I didn't know the government had enrolled Terrence Malick to increase their propaganda output. This is some Malickian propaganda bullshit. Just watching the trailer, I was just like, I am surprised Terrence Malick didn't sue this man. And then I found out that he, of course, is the editor. So I was already one strike against this movie. Luckily, I found all this information after. The second strike was, of course, you guys mentioned it, the executive producer is Gus Van Sant. No, like Terrence Malick with Andrew, Douglas is real horny for Gus. He's also incredibly wrong. But I know I'm a man, and it is very weird to have two aspects of a movie be bad, but both people defend either aspect. They've come to the same conclusion in the end, but the things leading to the badness, they're just like, no, no, no. Don't speak ill of those things. It's fine. Tyus Sheridan, as he says, he plays boy. Imogen Poots plays girl. Caleb plays the Joker. And Felix Wright plays Batman.
Felix Wright.
The movie is concerned with, and at some point, and this is the thing I hate about all Terrence Malick films, at some point, they've gone so far with imagery and mood and whatever that at some point they have to spell out to us idiots what the movie's about. And so at one point, someone literally says, you know, the things that separate monsters from men is. And that is what this movie is concerned with. It sets up a young man who is in a bad situation and his situation just gets worse. And then they provide him an out, an escape route. And the movie is really exploring, especially towards the end, what is it that would transform a vicious monster into a remorseful man? That is what this movie is. The fact that they had to spell it out for me is real disgusting. But that's fine. There's a couple of things that I did appreciate about this movie. When he's leaving the foster care place, someone says that you don't age out, you become emancipated. She made me smile a lot. It shouldn't, but it really did. The Joker is tremendous in this. He's in five scenes. He's on a bus, then he takes him out drinking, and then the other stuff that he does brings it into spoiler territory. But every time he's on screen, it is real joyous. And it's the only time I feel the imagery works. Because Malick, and of course his protege, is very good at focusing on the beauty of the image first. And focusing on mood first instead of telling story. They don't do action. It is beneath them. Which is fine. I cannot think of anything worse than a Terrence Malick directed action movie. I would kill myself.
I've seen one. It's called The Thin Red Line.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's trash. I enjoy the fact that on his way to escape from a situation,
escape,
he buys a train ticket and is told it leaves in 3 hours. And then he proceeds to make cascading shitty decisions. Which is, it was so funny that it didn't aggravate me how it aggravated you, where he just happened to meet this girl. How did the car get there? Like, none of it makes any sense. But it's this weird...
And the funny thing is, right? If this was an actual movie and not what it is, maybe I'd still be a little frustrated, but I would have probably rolled with it.
Right.
Right? Because, again, there are a lot of other, let's call them mitigating factors, that could make this, if you take out the Malick side, a good movie.
Right.
And... Anyway, continue. Sorry.
I also was trying hard to appreciate the salvation/redemption arc that this movie was trying to go for. The problem is this movie fought me the entire way because Terrence Malick. And if I were a betting man, I would have bet a lot of money that Andrew was going to come here and say kind things about this trash film. But he did really surprise. Hearing Andrew just be like, this movie isn't that good. There's things that were done well, but the movie on a whole is bad. Gives me further evidence that I think Andrew watches movies director's name first. Because this movie, let me just say, I'm going to be nice. This movie is better than at least one Terrence Malick movie. I won't name one, because I don't need to. I'm just going to say it's better than at least one of them. And so for Andrew to be like...
When you say at least one, should the word any be put anywhere in that sentence?
No, because I'm being nice.
Remember, okay.
We're being nice. All right, cool. I'm trying. 2020. This year has gone off to a shit start. I'm trying to be nice. And so that is the part of the movie I was really enamored with. The profound, like, the themes, especially from the acting side. There's not a lot of actors in there, but the teams did their jobs. The other time I'd seen Ty Sheridan is in Ready Player One. I despise that movie. It is trash. And so I didn't expect anything from him out of this one. But he surprised me. And so that's always good. And
I thought, did you not watch Mud?
No, I'm saying the thing that I recognize him.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mud was a long time ago, and I don't think of it as a Ty Sheridan movie.
Mm-hmm.
I think of it as a surfer guy.
Weirdly enough, I don't even think of him as Ready Player One. I had to like go to IMDb to be like, oh, he's Ready Player One, dude. He just looks like average white guy to me.
Right.
Yeah.
And he played average white guy in Ready Player One. But that movie is one of the worst things I've ever seen. Andrew disagrees with me on
Look, that movie, it's not worth fighting over. I think personally, I went in with such low expectations that I walked out being with, I enjoyed myself.
That's fine. And did you read the book before watching
that? No, movie? I did not.
Right, maybe that's part of
it. Yeah, people seem to like that book.
The book is really
a lot.
Good.
Oh, you've read it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And it had one really good scene that I liked.
But the thing about...
Is it sad that I have not watched Mud, by the way, to this day?
Oh, you should.
It is,
yeah,
it is sad.
Yeah, I keep hearing how great it is. Yeah.
It is really good. But there's... On the list of movies you should watch before watching Mud, I have a bigger list for you. There's some big gaps. They're both
like
watching
Rambo First Blood.
Yes. Yes. That is the biggest one, but there are some other gaps.
Commando. Yeah.
Wait, for real?
I've actually never watched Commando.
The fuck is
Commando is so good.
Alright. Whose pick is it next week?
No, you can't remove next week's pick.
Okay.
Oh boy.
Okay, alright.
That sounds exciting.
Well, the next time.
Oh yeah,
time,
that's true. No, we can't.
Yeah, the next time I have a pick, that is what I'm going to use my picks for going forward, because we've basically run out of new and interesting movies to watch, and Andrew lives in the future, so I'm just going to take my picks to right wrongs, like when Andrew said American Beauty isn't a timeless classic. That's what my picks are when Douglas says he hasn't seen Commando.
That you made us watch that movie.
So good.
It's great, but it's a movie we've all watched 1,000 times.
That's what this podcast should be about.
We're soon going to be the rewatchables. I can copy the format. I can get the questions down. Who gets the Joy Pants Award of Age Out?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't mind that show at all. I just have a problem because I barely get to a point where I've finished all the podcasts that I have to listen to, mm-hmm. and then I'm able to listen to that kind of stuff. The stuff I need to get acquainted with.
So, this Age Out is by no means a terrible movie. It is just not... It's not great, which is disappointing, based on how hard the actors are trying. It is a fault that is wholly in the director's, it's the Malick problem, where the bulk of the concern is making the movie look as good as possible and feel weighty, but not focus on the storytelling.
Because all that's wrong with this movie is how it's shot. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the scriptwriter was upset because, I mean, I didn't read the script, but I imagine it did not have multiple pages of insert Terrence Malick sequence here, right?
He wrote it.
Right. Fine.
That's right. I did know that. I forgot about it.
Find
he wrote
the lowest, most off-kilter angle you can and shoot that for 5 minutes straight. But why? Because.
I forgot that he's a writer-director for this one. So, I have to blame the writer, even though it's not the writing's fault. Yeah. That's upsetting.
Right, he probably did write, put Terrence Malick bullshit here. Insert. He's probably using the Terrence Malick script template. And didn't define a replace for the Terrence Malick bits. This movie, I won't say it's disappointing, but it could have been better.
It's mediocre.
Actually, it's worse than mediocre.
Speaking of things that shouldn't be kept,
wait. Should we make that into? Is that going to be a separate podcast?
Oh no, I'm not talking about that.
Oh, okay, cool.
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Usually,
that's what I thought.
No. I was about to talk about your friend and mine from SNL. She did a new stand-up special.
Okay, yeah.
Who's from SNL?
Go right ahead. I haven't watched it because I know what clock is striking.
It's the black one.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched 5 minutes and I turned it off.
Right. So Keegan had a special on it. You remember when Arcade Fire did SNL?
Not really, but okay.
All right, so there was a skit where Tina Fey was on there, and she's like, guess, is it Arcade Fire or is it a new SNL cast member?
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they called out the main guy who puts on SNL, and Keegan was out there, and there was someone from Arcade Fire, and he's
Keegan?
Like, I don't know, the black one? And he's like, I've worked here...
As in Key and Peele Keegan?
No. What's his name?
Who are you talking
Who's
about?
Who's the fat one? The fat black guy on... What's his name?
Oh, Keenan.
Keenan.
Yeah,
sorry,
okay.
Keenan and Kel.
Right.
Good burger.
Okay. All right, so then Right, everything falls apart then. This was used in the wrong way. But right, there's what's the guy that runs SNL?
Lorne Michaels,
right. So Tina Fey calls out Lorne Michaels, and Lorne Michaels looks at the two people, like Keenan and this guy from Arcade Fire, and it's like, I don't know, the black one. It's like, Keenan's like, the black one? I've been on SNL for years. Did he just say that? And me and my sisters have been making that joke forever. So, but I got the name wrong. So even if you had remembered that one, Skitty would have been answered. Never mind.
I do know of that joke because I think you've probably told it to us before.
Probably.
But yeah.
Right. So I watched two stand-up specials on Netflix recently. And one is flat out atrocious. And one is a severe disappointment.
Mm. Can I guess which one is atrocious?
Sure.
Is it the black one?
Yes.
I've said it from day one. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves her. I don't know why. She's not funny. I don't like her.
There's some people who work as a character in a bit. Right? I understand your how she rubs you the wrong way, Douglas. Because in that same vein, if that character doesn't work for you, you are lost in the game.
Yup.
Right? And I get it. It's kind of like the same thing with the other lady you don't like in the same Ghostbusters movie.
Oh, so we can move from the black one to the fat one. Melissa
McCarthy. Right?
Yeah.
There's some people who as a character just works in a bit.
Yeah.
When I saw her as a stand-up, I'm like, oh no, this probably won't turn out well. But I like her as a character in a bit. I've seen her a lot on SNL.
Bang! Body shaming. Alright, so it's time we actually put names.
Yes, people. Please.
Because this is getting more and more ridiculous. Leslie Jones sucks. The special it's real bad. She's loud. If you like the thing that she does in SNL,
the one thing
she does continuously. There's a couple jokes in there, but they're only jokes by 1999 Def Jam standards.
Oh, you mean like who was that? Dion Cole,
basically.
Ah, I couldn't.
They're not.
I think I lasted 15 minutes.
They're not good jokes because they've been done a trillion times, just not by a loud black woman. It was usually a loud black man, but she tells stories about how she and her friends went hoeing, which is, I mean, it's fun, but not particularly special. That type of hoeing is definitely. The real disappointment is that Fortune Feimster finally got her full hour-long special.
I'm upset because that's something I actually wanted to watch, and you're saying that it's not so hot.
She has two, I think, 30-minute sessions on Comedy Central for various of Comedy Central's shows, and she's absolutely fantastic. Like she's one of the people that I can see being in the. That I was assuming would be upper echelon in the future. I thought she was well on her way to being one of the best. And this special, I don't know if it is because it's her first hour-long special, but it felt a lot like... oh my God.
Sam, what's his face?
No, man. He has a show on Netflix where he does he has a talk show on Netflix now.
Community.
No, man.
No?
Oh my God.
A talk show?
Yeah.
Norm? But that ended.
No, it's a new guy and he loves sneakers. Oh my God.
Oh, you're talking about the guy from The Daily Show?
Yeah, the guy, what's his name?
What, Trevor Noah?
No, not no. Trevor Noah. Indian guy.
Hassan Minhaj. Hassan Minhaj, right. He's horrible. Again, I don't like him either.
Right.
I like him.
It's the same
here
issue.
Here is me essentially saying, you're black, I hate you. You're fat, I hate you. Like, it's, wow.
I mean, you're
this podcast is just fantastic.
With his special, it was less a special and more of him walking you to how he got here.
Mm-hmm.
And that is kind of what Fortune does with this one.
That annoyed me about him because he is not making jokes. He is trying to be the unfunny version of Jon Stewart and Trevor Noah. He's trying to be insightful and all of these things, but is pretending as if it's a comedy special. That's not a comedy special. Exactly. No, you can do it, you know. There are a few people that have done it. Our guy Schloss does it.
Right. Mike Bigler is one.
And what's her name? I can't remember her name, which is really bad. But her last special, the name of it was Nanette. She did an excellent job.
Oh, yeah,
job
I know
it.
Who you talk about. But the British.
No, she's Australian.
Again. I need to stop doing this. I only speak to 5 people. I keep making jokes. But it's...
You
I
make
making
it to the
cross
other people.
Jokes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Anyways.
But that... Actually, yes. I want to try find her other specials because she's... Oh, boy. So, for me to, like... Because she went hard with when she made the turn.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it's probably a full half hour of this is now a serious talk.
Right.
And I was with her every step of the way. And for her to get me in there.
So, Fortune is just recapping her life. And telling funny stories about her life and whatnot, which is fine, but I'm here for you to murder. Like, I need you to come with your best jokes. I don't know when it became in vogue to waste people's time in stand-up specials. I don't give a shit about your life. Right? I don't know if it's because Kevin Hart is the most popular, and that's all he does, which is tell stories about his life. But I'm here for the jokes. Craft tremendous jokes, and you are all capable of doing so. And give me those jokes. Dave Chappelle's first 2 specials are untouchable because he pretends that he's telling stories about his life, but they're all jokes. They're just well-crafted, immaculately timed jokes. I don't want anything else. But if Netflix is going to hand you the bag of money to do whatever, I guess so. And in fairness, that's what Ali Wong did, and it didn't annoy me as much.
Because they're good.
Yeah,
Ali Wong is fantastic.
Right, because she crafted proper jokes.
Yep.
And wasn't just telling shitty stories about her life. I... really was this up. I think Fortune Films could be in time one of the greats, but this is not a good start. Leslie Jones sucks. She's always sucked. She'll continue to suck. She's playing female Sam Jackson on SNL, and that is all. And she's playing female Sam Jackson stereotype on SNL. Because Sam Jackson has range and is capable of acting. She's just low. And none of the things were like, you know, it's bad when you have to, for maybe 20% of your special, resort to you dancing. It's like, oh, it's funny to watch me dance.
Oh, so she's a Jamaican politician, is what you're saying.
Sorry, that is racist. I really, like, the Leslie Jones thing, I only remember because you had Netflix up a while ago. But yeah, I did watch that. But the Fortune one really disappointed me. I wanted her to be tremendous. And that's pretty much it for the last 2 weeks. I've had a lot of sports.
Yeah, sports have been a factor. I agree. but boy, I've watched some bangers this week. I can't really talk about many of them because these are the hits, right? One thing I will say that I did watch, and surprisingly, I watched it because somebody else wanted to watch it, and that's the only reason I'm going to talk about this, because I cannot believe that another person in the real world wanted to watch Nymphomaniac.
Oh, yes. I saw that on your letterbox.
I watched both the first and the second volume. Mm-hmm. Holy shit. So the one thing I'll say is that I appreciated a little more that there actually is an emotional depth to this movie. Yes, and it's not just dicks and vaginas, right? And
he is telling a story.
Yeah.
It's not well crafted, but he is telling a story.
And I couldn't believe it. At the end of the two movies, the person was like, oh, that emotional roller coaster. I was like, really? That's what you took from that movie?
Yeah.
But yeah, so I like Lars von Trier, and it is very hard for him to make a movie I don't like. So far, it's only happened once, and I'm not sure if it really happened.
You know, the lies we tell to ourselves are the worst lies.
It's coming from... Oh, no, I said I was going to be nice. Never mind. I'm not finishing that sentence.
Yep. But outside of that, really, I mean, I've just been watching TV, and there are a couple of things that I'll talk about.
Can we talk about The Expanse?
Sure. Let's talk about The Expanse.
Andrew, what's happening with The Expanse?
What happened in The Expanse?
Andrew, why? Why are you doing? Listen, at least watch it and say the same nonsense you did about Peaky Blinders.
I need to try and buy that again.
I'm just going to cry.
I'm so sad that I can't have that in the HSD.
It says you can. You can pay for it.
You the money just don't give it to you.
And never ship.
I'm pretty sure there's some sort of money rinsing scam going on. Because I got back my money, but it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, so I guess I wasn't going to talk about it, but you're right. I have watched since the last time we spoke, The Expanse, the whole of it. I started back from the beginning, made it straight to the end. This show is phenomenal.
It's better than everything on TV.
I, in one sitting, sat down and watched the whole of the first season because... And I don't do that a lot with TV shows. There are a few shows, I will admit, that I've watched a lot of. One would be Black Books, because of course. One would be Legion. Another would be The Preacher. And to us, a lesser extent, Rick and Morty.
What about Justice?
I've watched, so the thing about Justified, probably because it's so long, and when it wasn't around when I was watching things 20 million times. So I know I've watched individual episodes multiple times, but I wouldn't go as far to say, you know, I've watched so many of them so many times. But that is one that's on my list to be rewatched. But yeah, so for me to go back and rewatch a TV show, especially one that is hour long episodes and three seasons deep, is a feat, and it just goes to show how great this is. When you watch it and you remember things, because when I got to the... Hold on, let me think about this. Where are we now? Is Amazon season three or four?
Four.
Okay, cool. So when we get to season... Actually, let's not even get to season three yet. Season two.
Yes.
When, for one whole episode, they say, hold on, hang on a second. Don't worry about what's actually happening. I want to explain to you how we invented rockets. Mm-hmm. And you sit down and you say, but that's not exciting. And then they say, you sure? And by the end, you're like, all right, fine.
Yeah.
Who can do that?
Only The X-Men.
In season three, which, by the way, it just goes to show how long the wait has been. That I forgot about how season three was structured. I remember getting to the third season, it starting where it started, and saying, no, but there was a fourth season where they completely, no. Again, this is just how fucking good this show is. That in the middle of season three, they stopped And they said, I know that you're into this story, but what if I just don't tell you anything else? And we fast forward like a couple of years or maybe a couple of months, however long this is. And we don't even worry about the rest of that.
The thing that was driving the entire TV show comes to a crescendo. And in the middle of a season, they're like, we are moving on. And you're like, you cannot do that. And they just leave you behind. They're just like, listen, here's how confident we are that we're better at this than everybody else. A thing that no one else has ever done. We're going to do and then give you a half season of a better TV show. It's like, this is impossible.
Yep. And then now we come to season 4, which is Amazon's rescue mission.
Yeah. You can tell that they have a lot of money and a lot of freedom because they're just flexing.
So I know that Damian has some not so nice things to say about this season, but he needs to shut his face because the season's great.
It's the weakest Expanse season, which is better than all but Legion first season.
Damian, there's like a Lady Amos. All right.
I only have one question.
Yes?
You're still fucking. God damn. Everything about this show is great.
This show is, it's just great. And it's obviously hard to talk about details, especially the further you get on into the seasons without spoiling who did what and where.
And what
but just know, everybody, that this movie is in space. There are literal space cowboys. They are awesome and you should be watching this.
And Andrew, there's a point where a spaceship is towing another spaceship with a cable.
I forgot about that.
And it is so tense and nerve-wracking. At some point, I had to step back and go, how is this show making towing interest? This doesn't... It can't. It's very good. And unlike Game of Thrones that use murdering the people you like to keep you on your toes, to, you know, subvert expectation, this show uses tremendous writing in order to get that done. They don't just shock you by, oh, let me murder the people you think can't be murdered. They don't resort to that. It is sad that more people don't love this show. I am happy that Jeff Bezos saved it. And I'm even more happy that they have 2 more seasons, I think. I don't know if because they weren't sure about how many seasons they had, if that is what kept the other 3 seasons tighter, because more stuff happened in the previous season. There was more of a push to getting certain things done, which this season was more relaxed. You weren't tense episode to episode, but it is always interesting. And the thing that this show does better than almost every other show I've seen for a long time is that the characters that are there, you're so invested into everything that happens to them that just spending time with them feels good, even when there's not a lot of pull to what is happening. And you should watch the show. And I don't know, like, you're a Star Wars man, you should have been watching this from day one. Like, everything about the show. You love space cowboys more than everybody else. You should be into this. I don't know how this one has it.
But you told me it was on the Sci-Fi channel.
That's no longer
that's
on the Sci-Fi
that's
channel.
Almost like telling me you should watch this Hallmark movie.
One of your favorite movies of all time is on Netflix. So if Netflix gets an exception, Sci-Fi gets an exception. Because all the other Netflix movies are hot garbage.
Yep.
So I'm telling you to make an exception for Sifi.
Okay.
Sifi.
So Sifi. Got three more things to talk about very quickly. Two of them very quickly. Probably three of them very quickly. The first thing, and I'm going to share some conversations. Mm-hmm. First is me and you, Damian.
Hi.
I've been watching and I have completed watching Sabrina the Teenage Witch Part 3. Mm-hmm. This show is what it is. It's not good, but you know what? It's what I want to see. And that's all I'll really say about that. But I know that me and you are finally together on this. So
yes.
Have you seen it, and do you have anything to say?
I haven't seen season 3 yet. I'm very excited to get that done this weekend.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Oh, no, it is not.
But I don't care anymore.
Agreed. Andrew, you and me now.
Hey.
Just to... For those of you who don't listen... Oh, sorry, those of you who listen and maybe don't know.
For those of you who don't listen, but you're listening today.
Right. For the people not listening.
Right. HBO announced and has put out two episodes of Curb Your Enthusiasm, which is one of my favorite shows in the world. I don't want to talk to you about this show. And here is why. This is the first season where I've finally said, you know what? All they did, it's not so hot yet, at least. And all they did was say, you know what? Let's just turn it up a little bit. And I'm disappointed with that. I'm hoping, my fingers are crossed, that I will like it a lot more as it goes along. And he loves to do this. There are background people that every time I see, I'm like, I love those guys who just randomly show up and disappear. Like there is the lead actress from a show I think I spoke about here, Great News, that I love, that was in it for half a second. And there are a bunch of other people, you know, like that all the time. But yeah, this season I don't think has been the strongest so far. Andrew, have you watched this yet?
I've seen the two episodes.
Yeah.
I'm very much like, I think he's gone too far. I think he's gone too long. I think he should have stayed home this year.
Yep.
I have to say, the one thing that I found hilarious is that they're calling Jeff Garlin Harvey Weinstein. They just put him in the suit and told him not to shave. And every woman walks past him and goes, "You monster." And he has to be like, "No, I'm not him." And I think that's hilarious.
Yeah, that wasn't bad. But I'm glad to hear I'm not the only one. Now, Damian, now that you've watched the first episode, and we already know that this is your opinion anyway, what the fuck you want to say about this TV show, Damian? Huh?
The Harvey Weinstein.
Tough guy.
The Harvey Weinstein jokes are hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
Being nice.
All right, go fuck yourself. Yeah, it was too much to ask for him to go away for so long and to actually be able to do this as well as he used to. He got away with it last season with the fatwa and various things, and it just worked. But this season, boy, as I said, my fingers are still crossed. I'm still hoping, but...
It just worked.
Yeah.
It is as good as the last season was.
Fuck you. And the last thing I'm going to talk about, and this is now a call for open response, because I don't know I know about you, Damian, because we've spoken about this, but I don't know who has or has not watched this show. I have recently fallen in love with one Awkwafina. Comedy Central decided, we are going to invest in you and create a show with your name on it. Awkwafina is Nora from Queens. I have watched the first episode. I think the second episode is airing either today or aired last night. I haven't watched that yet. Andrew, have you watched the show yet? Or do you even care?
I had no idea this show existed.
Okay, cool. So before we talk about it, is this something that just on the face of it, you think is interesting, or do you not give a fuck?
Don't give a fuck.
All right, fair enough. Yeah. So,
D.D. Wong is in it.
Based on what I've seen so far, mm-hmm. Andrew continue to not give a fuck. This show's bad.
Guess what I wanted?
What?
Fresh off the boat with Aquafina. That is what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But guess what? It definitely isn't.
It definitely isn't. At least not for this
first episode.
I thought you said you didn't see it.
Douglas, remember, when I talk, see, you said that you're going to watch that thing.
Yeah.
And I said, I am afraid. I didn't say I didn't watch it. I said, I'm afraid.
Yep. Damien, this episode is straight up bad. Now, again, as with Larry David, the first episode can always morph into something good after that. But, wow.
Remember how Fresh Off the Boat was awesome from mm-hmm. episode one?
Mm-hmm. Whoa, boy. And there weren't even any redeeming parts of this show.
I said it to Douglas that what Douglas has done is taken the part of Aquafina that he loves.
Yes.
And made it into... As Douglas says, he loves Aquafina.
Yes, I do.
He loves, like, the 13% of stuff that she appears in then disappears. That is Aquafina.
Yeah, that's Aquafina. I love Aquafina.
Aquafina that he loves. I thought this was Comedy Central's opportunity to make Fresh Off the Boat. And because I saw all the people that were in it, and I went. I even heard an interview of one of the writers, and I was just like, "All right." But that is not what it is,
mm-mm.
And I am very disappointed.
Yep.
So does this mean that you've watched The Farewell, Douglas?
I have not. Again, 13%.
Oh, Lord.
It's still on my list. I'm going to watch it.
You're a saint. I continue to watch Cheers, but we shouldn't talk about Cheers. It is 4,000 years old.
Everybody knows your name.
Sometimes you want to go. you're also watching Sex Education?
Yes, I am watching Sex Education. I decided not to talk about that, but we can if you'd like. I love that show.
I need a good place to end.
Yes, please.
So that I can stop watching bad episodes of mm-hmm. good place.
Mm-hmm.
Can someone... I think there's one more episode left. I think we're at it. I just need it to stop.
Ooh, you know what I'm excited for? I haven't watched it yet, but it has been released. They've made Miracle Workers into an anthology show, and it's completely different this season. I'm excited to see what happens there.
All right. Andrew Robinson, regale me with Tales of the Future.
All right, Tales of the Future. There's a bad Terrence Malick ripoff movie called Age Out. all right, cool. There's a lot I've seen in the last 2 weeks. I'm only going to like distill this down to the important things. Bad Boys 3 is awful.
Listen. Stop it. I thought you were being. I thought all of us agreed to be nice.
Wait, do you have something to say?
Bad Boys 1?
I do.
You don't like Bad Boys 2?
I do.
Right?
I was the one defending Bad Boys 2 the other day.
Andrew, don't do this.
Fuck Bad Boys 2.
Bad Boys 2. Bad Boys 2 is peak Michael Baydom, and it is so fantastic.
It's the best.
Right? Bad Boys 3 is awful, and it's sad because the thing I like the most about Bad Boys 3, and I never thought I'd say this about a Bad Boys movie, the thing I like the most about it is Martin Lawrence. He leans in to his old ass madness so hard, I relate. He's just out there being upset that Will Smith is dragging him everywhere, and he is just so fun. The rest of this movie is trash. Yeah.
Okay.
The rest of this movie is bad.
That sounds good.
Wait, have you not watched this movie?
I don't have anyone to go with me. I remember asking someone if they wanted to watch 1917 and got no response.
Because that movie is going to look good, mm-hmm. but not there.
But here's the thing. I will no longer go to Carib alone. Because it is Carib.
All right, we can... If it's, still, if it's still someone, around, we can arrange some bad boys.
I need someone to bitch about Carib with. If I go by myself and the experience is bad, I just have to blame myself. If I go with someone and it's bad, I can go, well, at least I went with a friend. I had some friend times.
So I just took a look, and tonight is the last night of 1917.
Of course it is. Yeah, four people would have gone to watch
it. So the movie, haven't seen it. The movie started 20 minutes ago. If you run,
yeah,
I'm sure Jojo Rabbit stopped the day it started.
Yeah. It's still playing in Sunshine.
Sorry, what's that?
The place in Portmore.
So, no, I don't know what's that Portmore
or Multiplex. I think that's freaking Moby. But yeah,
we did this to ourselves.
So you go. Bad Boys 3 is bad. I keep wanting to say Bad Boys 4 because the title is Bad Boys for Life. But it's actually part 3. It fucks me up every time. Talking about it, I saw 1917. That movie's pretty damn good. I didn't know Sam Mendes was planning to make a Call of Duty movie, but Call of Duty is the shit out of Call of Duty.
That's how you do World War One, son.
Like, they're parts of it, and I mean, it makes sense because they're all British soldiers and shit, but part of it just threw me back to the first Call of Duty where I'm hearing Jason Statham telling me, go down the road and go and shoot the guy. Yep. And you're like, yeah, that's Call of Duty there. It is cinematically fantastic, and it would have definitely been in the conversation. The next quick thing I want to talk about, even though I should talk about this some more, because Douglas said something to me the other day in the chat that I'm like, I should mention this. I watched this older movie by the name of The Friends of Eddie Coyle. Have any of you heard of this movie?
No.
This sounds familiar.
It's a 1970s movie starring Robert Mitchum and Peter Boyle. It's about a guy called Eddie Coyle, played by Robert Mitchum, who is an old-time crook who is trying to have a normal life, right? He does small things for people, but you know, he's not trying to be like the crazy guy. And aside to this, there are a bunch of people doing bank robberies. Peter Boyle runs a bar and he's a hitman, and it's a 70s gangsters movie. This movie is bloody fantastic, and it reminds me that I don't think I've ever seen a movie with Robert Mitchum I didn't like, right? He's just cool. Like, even though he's old at this stage, he's no longer like 50s Western Robert Mitchum. He's like an olden man. He's just there enjoying life, and I enjoyed every minute of it. But more to the point, reminding me of something Douglas had mentioned in the chat this last couple of weeks. This movie is obviously the inspiration for a lot of the bank high sequences from The Town, because Ben Affleck straight up lifted that shit from this movie, and it was cute for me to see that whole thing where, like, they're like, he does the thing where he lets the guy out and says, keep walking until you don't hear us anymore, and he's like walking into the river or something.
Maybe that's why that sounds familiar. Did you listen to that episode? Did they talk about that? Because that would make sense.
I probably had listened to that episode, but I think that's like a episode from a while back. So I remember hearing...
Again, it took me a while to get past podcasts that I listen to on a weekly basis.
With that podcast, I tend to actually like listen to episodes randomly, where I will download that episode today and I won't listen to it for like 2 weeks. And then in the 2 weeks, there have been three more. And if I don't really care to listen to those movies being talked about, I'll just skip them. Or if it piles up, I'll just like clear them out, right?
Yeah, that's like me and How Did This Get Made. Like, for example, I just listened to the Drop Dead Fred episode.
Oh, I love that one.
You guys, well, you sound like you've listened to it. You need to listen to that. I now want to rewatch Drop Dead Fred. That was the best episode ever. All right. I love this podcast, but this in particular, that episode, whew, so good.
Yeah. I like them doing their live shows. It's fun.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, Friends.
I wouldn't mind going to one.
Friends of Eddie Coyle. It was a really fantastic movie. More 70s gangsterdom. Really good.
Sounds great.
Looking through my list, there are movies I could talk about, but they're bad. Like The Gentleman, it's awful. I talked about it on Rand's podcast. You can go listen to that. I'll put a link in the show notes.
Excuse me. Cut that out of this podcast. You and your just. Ugh. I hope you checked yourself for diseases before you
Please
came here,
review
sir.
Review The Gentleman right now.
How dare you?
What is happening on this podcast?
The Gentleman is bad. Look, Colin Farrell is in that movie and he's fun. Hugh Grant, it's nice to see that he's a character actor now. The rest of that movie is awful. Matthew McConaughey was probably thinking he was doing a Lincoln ad throughout that movie. Movie's bad. Alright? It's not worth talking about. It's not worth watching. I think Damien told me to watch this movie. Tell Me Who I Am.
Yes.
Tell me what you think about this movie, Damien, because I did not like this movie.
No, I said it at the time. It is not good. It is. The story is crazy. It
sounds like a bounty killer song.
I mean,
look into my eyes. Tell me who I am. Yeah.
God damn it. It's a story about two boys. One. Yes. Two boys. It gets what you're thinking. It is way worse than that. This is way, way worse than that. One loses
Damon,
his memory.
Damon, stop saying things like you like children. Stop it.
One loses his memory and he's the younger brother, and the older brother decides to just flat out lie to him about everything that happened in the past.
I think I've seen a trailer for this movie. Is this
Two British Gentlemen?
Okay. It's on Netflix. It's a real movie.
Yes,
yeah,
a documentary.
Because I thought we're okay. Yeah, it is a documentary.
Yes.
And then the documentary, the trailer pose is like, ooh, something horrible must have happened that he lied about or something like that.
Yes, something. Yeah. Really awful happened.
Yeah.
And the older brother did the thing that all.
So
older
that movie's
brothers,
not good. Because that actually, no. I mean, that's the sort of thing I almost wanted to watch.
The scenario is good. The execution is horrendous. They had every single opportunity to make a good movie, but they didn't. Especially.
So what you're saying is I should just read the Wikipedia page.
Especially because the entire movie is building up to the reveal. Then, the movie is just... Like, the movie just... falls to pieces after an hour. Because all the setup is good. It is what they showed you in the trailer. And the thing that happened is truly horrific. But the struggle, the push and pull and the back and forth is revealed too early in the movie. So by the time there's the full reveal and the storytelling part, you already have all the info. It is just two men saying sorry at one another, which is not what you want at the end of the movie. And by the way, the older brother did the thing that every single older brother that has ever been born, every older sibling, every parent would have chosen that option. The not telling you about the awful shit because you get to live a life without that. It doesn't matter that you feel cheated. You cannot expect your older, given the opportunity to erase terrible shit from people's life. If anyone gets that switch, they're hitting that switch. Like, oh, I can make sure all of this bad shit disappears? Gone. It was very disappointing. That movie was really disappointing. I think one of the brothers made the documentary, so that might have something to do with it. But, yeah, it falls apart towards the end, which is not what I wanted.
Yeah, that wasn't great. Well, all right, two last things I'll talk about. One is the film Les Misérables. And no, I'm not talking about the musical.
Misérables.
there was a movie that came out last year by the name of Les Misérables, directed by Lajli. I'm sure I'm fucking up this name.
Close enough.
And it's set in the town that the guy who wrote Les Misérables is from, so the movie kind of takes that name to talk about the people in the town. And the movie is basically a police story. It's training day by way of The Wire, in which these three policemen, one is a rookie, come together on a day of working in this small town, and they deal with this community of impoverished and criminal people. And it's a story of the policeman's day and all the things that go on. And I fucking love this movie. Okay. It sounds like Damien knows what this movie is. I'm sure Douglas, I don't know if Douglas knows what this movie is.
No clue.
Right. So it's apparently inspired by some riots that happened in Paris in 2005. And the movie, like, it feels great. Like, what I love about this movie the most, and why I invoke words like The Wire, is this movie, I feel, for the first hour, it might not be at its peak running, it might not be at its peak of greatness, but it does the work of setting up the world of all of these moving pieces of the economy of this community, of how everything works, in a way that makes the following hour of this movie just fantastic to watch. And this is the guy's first feature-length film. He's made a couple shorts, and it's an immense movie. I enjoyed this movie end to end. I love the ending of this movie so much. It's one of those endings where it just kind of leaves you there and you're left wondering, like, which way do you prefer this movie to go in its ending? I adore it. And it's, the police officers are just three levels of assholes. The rookie is the nicest one because he's like, look, I'm new here. I'm not going to be a dick right out of the gate. There's one guy who they keep calling a cowboy, who he literally just runs around and owns the town like a cowboy, and the other guy is just his friend who just helps him out.
Is the other guy Red Peril?
Red Peril? No, I got lost there. I got lost on that one.
Sorry, Andrew. Damien got it. That's all that was necessary.
Andrew, please don't let me do this part.
I watch that movie way too much.
But yeah, this movie is fantastic. Damien, since you've already heard about it, this is your confirmation. Go watch this movie ASAP if you can.
So here's my problem. I heard about this movie on the BBC World Service.
Oh, it's been so long since I've listened to the actual radio.
That's not good. It's a podcast. The radio.
So the BBC World Service.
I know.
That's just the general name of the thing.
Why would I listen to the radio?
Because, right. I don't know. Yeah, no. I understand. You're right. But that's how I would listen to it back in the day when I was driving the Cressida around.
When TVs were black and white. I remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Usually when BBC and The Economist get involved, I get real scared. Because things like import are involved. But it's nice to know that no, it's just.
Look, I'm pretty sure if I went deep down into the story of Lajli, like there's social import of his story, I don't know that much.
At no point did you mention anything of import. You're just like, these guys are dicks. Shit happened. So that's good enough for me. I'll be sure to watch Les Misérables.
The last thing I'll talk about is our friend Steve, Netflix. Mm-hmm. I think Douglas had mentioned this in the last episode a little bit. I don't know how much he's watched yet, but I finally got around to watching the Dracula TV show.
Oh, I haven't gotten to the second episode yet, but Andrew, what are you saying?
That show is amazing for two episodes. Douglas, save yourself. don't watch the third one. The third one is straight trash. Right?
All right.
The first episode is brilliant. It's this cat and mouse game in the man's castle as he's like doing Dracula things, and it's amazing. Second episode is great. It continues on straight after that, what happens on that day, and it's fantastic. The third episode takes us to modern day future.
Boo.
And it is not good. There's one girl who's like, I deserve to die, and I like dead things, and it's just bad. It's an awful episode.
So it becomes emo Dracula.
It becomes emo Dracula. If these are all feature-length episodes, so if we consider this movies, consider it The Godfather. Watch 1 and 2, don't watch 3.
Wait, is that Godfather 3?
Yeah, don't watch it.
Is it sad that of late I've realized, and I know this is heresy, I kind of like Godfather 3.
You don't?
Yeah, I do.
No.
I have good memories of Godfather 3 because I just remember all the ridiculous bits. I haven't watched that movie in a long while. Like, I remember Andy Garcia being Andy Garcia.
Yep, that's definitely Andy Garcia.
Douglas, do you remember how we love the Hobbit trilogy?
That never happened.
Okay. That is what is happening to you and The Godfather. What you enjoy is spending more time in The Godfather universe. Those movies. Listen, I've been caught in that trap several times. I understand what you're going through. I've lied to myself many a time. Many, many a time. It must have been over the Christmas period. I watched the first half of that first Hobbit movie. I was horrified.
I did something similar.
Was legitimately
at some point
horrified.
I could not believe that a movie that Damian made both of our top tens that year, a movie that we like went to bat for. Just how disgustingly bad it is.
It didn't even feel. It felt like I'd never seen it before.
Yeah.